Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Locked On Bulls. On today's episode, we'll be talking about the latest rumors about surrounding Zach LaVine coming out the draft combine, this time coming from Casey Johnson. We'll also get into our draft prospects, talking about Mark Williams, and also the Bulls interviewing a surprising draft prospect. We'll get into all that and more on today's Locked On Bulls.
You are Locked On Bulls, your daily podcast on the Chicago Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Bulls your first listen of the day. Locked On Bulls, a member of the Locked On Podcast Network. That is Pat the Designer, host and creator of the Windy City Breeze, covering all Chicago sports. I'm Hayes, host and creator of Chicago Bulls Central, covering the Chicago Bulls over there as well. On today's episode, we're about to get into it. Casey Johnson had some interesting rumors surrounding Zach LaVine. And, you know, it's kind of been a twofold thing. So he came out with his initial column that really sent a lot of Bulls media kind of down a tailspin of talking about what's going on with Zach LaVine. He then clarified those comments on ESPN's Unfiltered later on, just discussing the fact
NBC
that it's
sports.
NBC. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. NBC's. But then just clarifying those rumors, saying that that's what's being talked about amongst other execs at the NBA draft combine, not necessarily coming from the Bulls people, Zach's people, anything like that. He did also say that his money's still on Zach LaVine, is more than likely returning to the Chicago Bulls. It's just not the slam dunk that he used to be looked at. He will be taking meetings with other teams, really doing his due diligence. But everything just still boils down to most money, kind of the best team still is the Chicago Bulls out of a lot of those teams. And, you know, unless he does want to pair with another superstar. But there's a lot of layers to unpeel with this one. Pat, where are you sitting with this right now?
Same spot that I have been, you know what I'm saying? I don't feel like Casey Johnson is writing up a myth piece. Yeah, I'm saying that's what I like to call them, where like these sources are out of nowhere. Like we're hearing per sources. Who are these sources, bro? That's like Jason Lock and Forest sources. You know what I'm saying? Like per sources. Like, but I feel like Casey Johnson is very tapped in with the Bulls. I feel like Casey Johnson is he understands kind of like what the situation is, and he's reporting on what he's hearing. And how he essentially wrote it out was that it's not a slam dunk that the Chicago Bulls will re-sign Zach LaVine like many thought that it once was. In my mind, I said, okay, sometimes you got to up and under adjust. Maybe it's a layup. Like, I still feel like best situation for Zach LaVine to be is here, based on the fact that no matter what you do with him, right, you're going to sign him to the max contract. It's just a matter of if he's playing under that contract here or if he's playing under that contract on another team. And when that comes down to it, right, okay, if Zach LaVine, right, we have to understand, like, the things we know is AK says he's going to give him the contract. Zach LaVine says he loves Chicago. He's just saying that he's going to experience free agency. If Zach LaVine decides to leave, that is Zach LaVine's choice, not the Chicago Bulls' choice. So in that case, okay, whatever team you want to go to, just know you're now under a $210 million contract. I essentially have pick of the litter to get back what I want. So if I send him to a team, is that team going to be in the best position to win like he would be on the Bulls? That's really the question that comes into play. So I still feel good about Zach LaVine returning here. I mean, I guess unless you think he wants to go play with LeBron with the mindset of – the only argument I've seen that's good is, like, he's going to go play with LeBron with the mindset of Bron's not going to be here forever and eventually I can take over as the number one on this team. It's the only argument that I was like,
that's okay. That and playing with Devontae at over in San Antonio, really the most compelling really things to consider. Yeah. Even looking at San Antonio, one of the things that I did say initially that made me think the San Antonio thing was probably a serious option was just the culture over there. But Pop is leaving. Pop got one more season. Now, that being said, San Antonio's been such a great franchise that a lot of that hopefully carries over even Pop is gone, but that's not certain. We've seen coaches leave a franchise after being there for so long and that franchise completely, because while Pop has been just the coach. We know he informs more than just coaching, right? He yeah. plays a little GM there. He plays a little bit of president of basketball operation, whatever he wants to in yeah. San Antonio. So, you know, him leaving could completely change the dynamic of what that franchise looks like. Not saying it's likely, but it's possible. So just looking at everything in totality, yeah, he could want to go play with AD and LeBron with the mindset that, you know, he could become the guy. But can you really do that? If AD's there, is AD going to be the guy at that point? Like,
AD's probably not there, right? Like, if you're making that move, the Bulls are probably bringing AD home, which I don't like, right? But, like, whether you want to bring him, whether you feel like AD's that level of player anymore, he's still, like, the best option for you to get back in that situation, maybe with a draft pick.
But like, the thing, and the thing is, it's unique if it is LA, because most of the time with signing trades, the team giving up the best player in the signing trade doesn't usually have a lot of leverage to get. Like, there's rarely ever a signing trade where a team that's losing a star gets a star back. But the Lakers situation is so unique because they don't have any cap space. They have to give up either AD or Russell Westbrook just for the deal to happen. Yeah. And the Bulls are not saying yes to Russell Westbrook. If this front office says yes to Russell Westbrook in a sign and trade and doesn't just say, hey, Lakers, you can't sign it without us agreeing. If you don't give us AD, this is a no deal. That's not working. It's not working.
Yeah, no, yeah. And I'm going to be real with you. It's tough for me to be all in on AD even coming back in a situation like that, right? Because, like, one, the health, this year's health, like, if you look at the health things that AD went through this year, like, they were real weird. Like, LeBron threw somebody into his ankle and he missed time. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't say that AD's body just broke down this season, but it's still like, is he going to be available? But you also have to deal with the fact that you're trying to get back the best option for Zach LaVine. So, like, is AD the best option coming back from the Lakers there? Or is draft picks and Malik Monk and, you know what I'm saying? Like, some weird combination. That's not going to get
the
money.
So the Lakers are so far over the luxury tax, they have to send back at least $30 million in salary cap for the deal to even work. So really, that leaves only Anthony Davis or Russell Westbrook, unless they're sending back LeBron. That's it.
You might be. Hey, so. Here's the crazy question to all the Bulls Nation. If you get some young pick in it as well, if they say we'll send you LeBron for Zach LaVine,
but that's the thing too, though.
You doing it?
Lakers have less picks than we do. They have no first round picks that they can trade.
They got
it's
no
a 2035
shot.
Damn near. Like,
they got no shot. Hey, but if they send you LeBron, you doing it?
Yeah. What you mean? even though I have my issues with Hairline James as a person, but you know, I mean, come on now, your business is for personal. You got to take care of the business.
36 years old, 30 plus points a game. What is that? Oh man, that's I don't know, man. Here's the thing, right? It just none of this at dealing with a place of knowledge. None of this feels like. It's not Clutch Sports doing what Clutch Sports does.
That's all it is.
That's all it feels like to me.
That's all it is. That's all it is. I mean, and then, like, oh, we're doing all this speculation on sign and trade possibilities, what team fits more. And it's really probably just Clutch being like, hey, man, listen, we need to get our player the most money possible. He didn't qualify for the Supermax. No, he didn't. All right, hey, man, start the rumors. Yeah. Get those rumors going.
Which because is weird because they finish the season like, no, we're going to pay him. I start him anyway. Exactly. No, we're gonna pay him.
They may be trying to because even in Zach LaVine's current contract, he had injury provisions in there. Maybe they're really trying to say, hey, listen, Zach LaVine's knee thing happened on a random game against Golden State. Like, literally, he went up for a three, came down, and was like, hey, man, this don't feel right. I'm getting out. Yeah. So, hey, we don't want no injury provisions. How can we avoid the injury provisions? Let's make it seem as if Zach may leave.
That's not a bad take. That's not a bad take on that. That might be the one reason why they're doing this. Cause I was confused as heck. Like, why would you go through all of this? Why are the rumors out there? Well, like, I get his free agency. He said he's going to meet with him, but like, it makes no sense. AK said, we're going to give him the max. Like, he's like, I don't foresee us having an issue offering him this contract. So, and he even said, like, we don't even know if AK is planning on putting the AK and Mark Eversley are planning on putting injury provisions in there, because AK said coming into this, like, the knee plays no factor in the contract negotiation.
This is true. But, so, you know, as an agent, you got to make sure, right? You got to make sure. Yeah. So, you know, they got to do their things. Next up, we're going to be getting into our first draft prospect analysis, talking about Mark Williams. But first, I got to talk to you guys about a new sponsor that we have, and this one is Sakara. Feeling your best starts with what you eat, and Sakara helps you live healthy, balanced lifestyle, and truly enjoy it with delicious plant-rich transformational nutrition that builds foundation for living in your body. Now is the best time to seek wellness, joy, and abundance in all areas of life, starting with what you eat. With Sakara, you get nutrient-dense meals, snacks, and supplements that nourish your body without ever sacrificing taste or quality. True radiance starts on your plate. Made with high-quality organic ingredients, Sakara's plant-rich transformational nutrition's programs are expertly designed to deliver real results, from reduced bloat to ease digestion to clear skin and boosted energy and moods. Looking and feeling your best shouldn't mean deprivation. Instead, choose joy and abundance. Sakara's organic plant-rich nutritional programs are designed to help you cultivate your body intelligence. Sakara is a wellness company anchored in food as medicine, on a mission to nourish your body through the power of plants. And right now, Sakara is offering our listeners 20% off their first order when they go to Sakara.com/LockedOn20 and enter code LockedOn20 at checkout. That's Sakara, SAKAR.com/LockedOn20 to get 20% off your first order. All right, Pat. Draft. This is one of my funnest times of year, bro. I don't know about you, but I love the NBA draft. I just love it. I love talking about college prospects. I love college basketball, both men and women's college basketball. So when it comes to diving into detail on some draft prospects, especially considering that the Chicago Bulls have the 18th overall pick, which is nothing to shake your head at. First up, this week we're going to be covering. First up, we got Mark Williams out of Duke, a center out of Duke. Who his intangibles are out the gym, but I want to talk about the things that are tangible, right? I want to talk about the things that are easily accessible. A 7-footer who can run the floor, who averaged over 2 blocks per game, who is an athletic monster. His offensive game still needs a lot of polishing, but looking at his game, and I'm gonna say in some of these the comps that experts are using for him, but I'm going to use some of my comps as well on this. So a lot of people are comparing him to Clint Capella. You heard that a lot in this upcoming draft. But I look at him more as a 7-foot Taj Gibson, to just bring it all home. The defensive intensity is really what Mark Williams has. He could be a 7-foot Taj Gibson for the Chicago Bulls. For, you know, our Chicago Bulls list fans who don't actually watch a lot of college basketball, that's something that, you know, it makes it easy for them. What do you think about Mark Williams as a prospect, Pat?
I like the comparison of Taj. I was leaning more into I guess that's still technically Taj. I was going to say a taller Daniel Gafford type, like a rim runner, good defense, good around the rim. It's so funny, right? Because we talked at length about the Bulls going out and finding, like, I can't believe we got rid of Bobby Portis. How are we going to find that guy again? Mm-hmm. You can find that guy again. Now, I don't know if Mark Williams would fall down to us at 18. I think that's a long way for him to go. But the interesting thing about Mark Williams, right, is you fall in love with the defense, you fall in love with the rebounding, and you realize that he's a player that can come in right now and fit a role for you. And I think that's the most important thing that the Bulls are looking at here. I don't expect – Mark Williams is very up and down offensively, right? Like, some games he would have 16. His best 2 games of the season were versus Syracuse, where he absolutely dominated them both times. But you see there's a correlation of, like, this guy's great. Their big men kind of suck as well.
Yeah.
So, like, offensively, when he goes off, you expect that in the – when there's those bigs that play lesser defense. But the rebounding, the ability around the rim, the fact that he is 7 feet tall, and the defense alone are things that absolutely get me excited about Mark Williams. And, I mean, he comes in at 242 pounds already, and he's going to get heavier in the NBA. Like,
his frame is very slight. You can easily see him putting on some weight and being a monster.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, honey, that's all I was going to say. He comes in a little, you know, I would expect him to get bigger in the league. I would expect him to be able to attack more. The question is, you're bringing him in right now as a, I mean, at 18, probably a starter, right? As you're big, like you're bringing him in at that. Well, maybe not. No,
he's
because
not starting.
Because of P. Will, our lineup construction, I'd be forgetting about it. Yeah, because of P. Will, he'd come off of the bench there. How would you work him into the lineup with the bigs, but P. Will and Vooch that we have?
See, the thing is that I see him easily slating in. If you look at when Tony Bradley and Tristan Thompson, they both averaged around 16 to 18 minutes per game. He can easily do that. And he can probably get a little bit more than that because I can see him playing next to Vooch a little bit better than Tristan Thompson or Tony Bradley. Like, I wouldn't say that you would want to run them out there starting together, but you can see a world in which they, because what Mark Williams brings that offensive upside, right, that you can see developing over time. But he brings a skill defensively that you can see him, much like Io, coming right in away because of that defense right away.
Yeah.
And like I said, too, his ability to run the floor. If you look at like him and Duke, some of his biggest games came when they were getting out in transition. If Lonzo's fully healthy and Lonzo being out in transition and having a big man like Mark Williams that can run with him, oh, that's a weapon for Lonzo that I would love to see. So, yeah, I think he slots in and getting those 16 to 18 minutes per game, playing high quality defense. As long as he shows that he can stay out of foul, that's always the thing with big men, right? Even if they are really good defensive big men, is staying out of foul trouble early in their career. Now, you mentioned it a little bit too that I want to talk about it. He may not fall to us. It started when I started doing I started watching draft prospects probably right when the NBA playoffs started. Almost in every mock that I saw, he hovered between 17 to like 25, and I was like, hey, there may be a chance here. Now that the draft positioning is all worked out, is that I've seen him go as high as ninth to San Antonio. And this would be a San Antonio pick, right? That they would draft him at number 9, and in 2 to 3 years, he's the top 15 center in the league. That's something that would happen with San Antonio. Now, I'm not saying that that's necessarily going to happen, but that's something that you can see happen with the way San Antonio drafts. Yeah. But I also look at the draft position. If New York is truly, if they know that they're losing out on Mitchell Robinson, Mark Williams is a nice replacement for Mitchell Robinson. So does he pass New York at 11? And then I think he would also have to pass Charlotte at 15 to really come to the Chicago Bulls. And so looking at that many teams that can use a center, and that's not if somebody just because they may, it's another team that may not have a need for him, like Atlanta at 16, if he were to drop out the lottery, that may take him because they may have him as the number one on their board, regardless of their roster construction. So it is a long shot. It looks like it gets longer and longer as everything goes on. With the combine and everything, that he falls to the Chicago Bulls. But I tell you what, if he was to be on the board when the Chicago Bulls pick, he's the player that that's why we're talking about him first. He's the player that I would want to see the Bulls draft.
I would love to see the Bulls be able to get a player like that, right? Because I feel like that was the one thing we were missing last year, right? Like, we're looking around the league. We're like, man, Daniel Tice looked real good. Hey, Thad, what's going on, brother? How you feeling? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Taj, you old, but what you got? Nothing? Don't worry about it. Stay where you at, man. Bobby, how you doing, brother? Good to see you again. You know, like, all these dudes that we've literally gotten rid of is the one dude we need. The other thing you have to look at as well with him, let's give him three blocks at home per game. He drops off a little bit on the road, 2.5 blocks on the road.
The fact that that's a drop off is still,
you know what I'm saying? Drop off. It's like drop off on the road. Yeah, 2.5 blocks a game. But he comes in, and it's like you said, right? Like, he comes in and immediately helps Vooch with a lot of the things that you didn't see Vooch have help with. And I'll tell you this, like, a player like that being able to come in defensively right away and hang his hat on something name-wise, if the Bulls were able to get him, I think he could have an impact on the floor immediately, and you could see an uptick in Vooch's numbers based on the fact that Vooch doesn't have to worry about his backside quite as much because there's not somebody 6'3", 6'4", back there backing him up.
Yeah. To have legit size at 7'1", 240 pounds, that's – and be as fast as like – If for anybody who hasn't actually got a chance to see him play, go and watch some of his highlights, right?
Yeah.
And I know just watching the highlights can be very misleading on what a player brings totally, but like, just watch the way that he moves in transition. It's not just the fact of him being quick at his size and getting up and down the court. He actually provides some spacing when running down, which does allow for him to get some of those fast break buckets when he has a point guard out there that can pass him. Like I said, yes, the defense is what's going to get him drafted. That's what's going to get him time in the NBA right away. That's going to be probably his hallmark, maybe for his whole career. but he does have some offensive upside. Even when you look at, like, from his freshman to his sophomore year, going from averaging 7.1 points per game to 11 points per game. Yeah. Like, that may not seem like huge, but adding 4 points per game to your jump and you were still starting most of that time, that's a nice jump for a player. So
that's a huge jump. And the jump is really in the consistency, right? Like at home, he struggled most of the time last season or two seasons ago, where he only averaged 5 points a game. On the road, he was 10 points a game. Now, even in that out, getting more comfortable at home and on the road, doing some good things with his offensive game. I'm excited to him. I doubt he falls to us. The question for Bulls fans that I want to ask y'all in the comments below, and this is literally like, does it even matter? But does this eliminate Marco Šimunović getting an opportunity to play?
Didn't think about that.
Does this absolutely bolster your bench where Marco might be able to play next season? That's and now you have 3 7-footers with talent on your team.
Him and Marco could be the nice defense offensive balance.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Because Marco's defense is atrocious. I don't care. Yeah. I watched them G League games this year. Marco has no clue what's happening on the other. He's not Michael Porter Jr. bad, but there's flashes. before we get into another prospect, though, that the Bulls could be looking on, speaking of the G League and Marjon Beacham, we do want to tell y'all about Bet Online, though. Our partners at Bet Online continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. You can find the latest odds, news, and sports development, including this year's NBA playoffs, MLB scores, fights. If you're a White Sox fan, you can get both of those together. And even next season's NFL futures. Bet Online is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoff esports and more. They've got a ton of prop bets over there as well. You probably will be at some point this season be able to get some bets on who's going to go number one pick, who's going to be in the draft there for the Bulls, who will the Bulls take at 18. So be on the lookout for that. Head to the website today and use your mobile device to learn more about trends and actions. Bet Online. Where the game starts.
All right. Next up, we got to talk about the Bulls have interviewed Marjon Beacham. And the thing that makes this an interesting thing to talk about is the fact that he's a 6'6 guard, a scorer who doesn't shoot threes, but a consistent player that skipped college basketball, went straight to the G League Ignite. But it shows that. Are the Bulls more focused at guard? It brings about some conversation. As we know with AK Eversley, I expect them to go best available regardless of position. This is what I think that they're going to do. But it does raise some questions about where is the Bulls' head at when it comes to the draft if they're looking at guards, already interviewing guards. Because we all kind of expected a big man to be the focus, maybe EJ Liddell, maybe Mark Williams, things like that. So coming in for it to be a guard that we're kind of getting the first type of rumors about or hearing about. What does that say to you, Pat? How do you take that?
As the great Tom Thibodeau once said, do your job. It's called doing their job. I love that the Bulls are interviewing arguably the best prospect coming out of the G League this year. Probably. Top three at least.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I would say top three easily.
15-7-2. Are there flaws in his game? Absolutely. There's flaws in a lot of these college kids games as well. And he's doing this against guys that are getting set up versus with NBA training and NBA, you know, scouts and stuff like that in the building with him all the time. So he's doing it at a different level. Do I think that there's some issues in his game from the 3-point line? Yeah, he's a guard, like you said, that can't shoot threes. But to me, right, like, this tells me that the Bulls understand what there could be a need for them with, where after DeMar and Zach, there was a huge drop off offensively of guys that could find themselves a shot. As much as we want to say, oh, he's not able to shoot. He shoots 24% from three. He shot 57% from the field. So there's something that's working there. So, you know, I like that the Bulls are interviewing him. I don't know if first off, he probably ends up going in the lottery still, I would think, maybe.
Looking at the mocks where they currently are, with the players that have moved up, it's not looking maybe it's like right outside the lottery.
So he might be there for us.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like I don't have a problem with the Bulls interviewing or speaking with these guys or trying to see what's going on. I mean, 6'6", 200 pounds. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what I want to see my team doing. It doesn't mean they're going to take them, but I'd rather us talk to as many people as we can and say, hey, you know, you're slated to go around us. We might need to grab you. What do you got going on? Or even, right, having a conversation. Here's the part that a lot of people don't think about. This is all a chess match. So this could be, we've got the 18th pick. Hey, Charlotte, y'all needed another offensive player, didn't you? You know, we spoke with Marjan. He's a great kid. He really does a great job. Excellent round. We could draft him at 18 for you. And, you know, you could send us something back on that as well. You know what I'm saying? Like, those are still mind games that you have to play as well.
I want, if anybody makes a trade, I'm hoping that the Bulls can package Kobe with that 18th pick and send to Charlotte so that we can get their 13th pick and draft Mark Wood. That's what I would want to see.
You want him? Oh, that's over a lot of people, though, dog. You moving up to 13?
Bro,
that's five spots.
I'm telling you, bro. Like,
say we're 2 years from now and there's a redraft, right? Okay. Where do you, like, you're mentally redrafting how it goes? Like, right now, we did it with Io. Should have been a first-round pick. Uh-huh. Where do you feel like Marjan Beacham ends up slated, like, where he went and where he thought he could have went, and where do you think that Marjan goes?
So if Marjan can do a la Lonzo Ball and add a three-point shot, not at the efficiency, but if Marjan can add a three-point shot with what he can do with ball handling and scoring without being a three-point shooter, I think easily people would probably take Marjan over. If we're talking theoretical projection at this point, right?
Theoretical. This is extrapolating it out 2-3 years from now.
I would say this. I would bet more on Marjan being able to develop a three-point shot than Mark Williams developing a 12 to 15 foot shot being a center.
So where do you got Mark Williams going then, 2 to 3 years out?
Mark Williams, where would you say he should pitch? I would say that he probably has top 12 talent.
Okay, so right about where you said it. Okay,
yeah.
I thought you were going high on him. I thought you were like, no, this dude is it. You know what I'm saying?
No. Seeing him go number 9 to Sacramento in some drafts, I think that's way too high. I think that you may look at it and say, at the end of the day, be like, hey, he's a starting center in the NBA that gives you great defense and some offense, but I don't know if it's number 9 type talent.
Well, I mean, look. I say this, right? If he gives you 15-3, that's $200 million, y'all.
That is true.
If he gives you 15-3 and 10, which is essentially what he can give you, right? Like, that's what we saw him more times than not. We saw, like, he was a weird offensive player to where Mark Williams, I'm talking about, where, like, the numbers would be high, and then, like, the next game he'd have, like, 3-3. So, like, the numbers even out, but it's interesting to think, like, you know, think ahead on that, because I feel like I agree with you on Marjan Beacham, because I look at him not as a similar player to RJ Barrett, but I think he'll have similar development in the NBA just based on the fact that I just need to teach you how to shoot. And there's NBA people here that do that every day. There's trainers. There's like Derrick Rose came into the NBA with no jump shot, and then he absolutely developed one, right? Like, I could see him going. I could see him, people looking back on Marjan Beacham and saying he should have been a lottery pick and a top 10 pick at that. 6'6", 200, he probably ends up adding, what, 15 pounds of muscle in the NBA?
Yeah, 10 to 15. Yeah, and, like, if you've seen his, like, the fact that he is, and he is a scorer, like, if you hear, hey, he's a scorer, but he can't shoot threes, you're like, how much of a scorer really is he? No, that
he's
boy
scoring
is
everywhere
scorer.
Else. He's
that boy is
literally
scorer.
Everywhere else.
Yeah, that boy scores. And if you add a three-point shot to somebody who scores without a three-point shot and that becomes a serious threat, yeah, that's easily top 10 talent. That's you got, take that top 10 in the draft every time.
He's got Kevin Garnett offense. Like, remember how KG could do everything inside the arc, But for some reason, when he stepped outside that three-point line, that mug would clang off the front of the rim or the back of the rim. Like you would just be like, why is the 3 feet make this much of a difference?
That's okay. I see what you're getting at.
Like he really is. Like, I want people to like go watch his clips, go watch his tape. Like the difference. It's like the three-point shot, one, he's not taking a ton of them because he doesn't shoot them at a great percentage. He's taking maybe three a game, making 0.7 of them. But literally everywhere else on the floor, he's an offensive threat. It's so weird.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Hey, if that boy develops three-point shot, man, that's NBA watch out. NBA watch out. That's all I can say.
Or he becomes DeMar.
You know what?
Or we draft young DeMar.
You know what? Point taken. Point taken. That's it. That's all I can say with that. It's point taken.
You draft. What if that's AK's master plan? Draft DeMar off of the bench. DeMar gets too old, and then Marjan comes in. It's like it's still like, DeMar.
Hey, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. Like, what happened? Nothing. Nothing at all has changed. Nothing at all has changed.
Oh man, that's a crazy. Good one, though. It's gonna be. I can't wait for the draft. I ain't gonna lie to you. I love like just watching all the tape and all that stuff. Like I remember watching Patrick Williams in the draft and literally being like, "I would draft him. I don't know if I'd draft him at four, but he's got so many intangibles. It's just can we figure it out?" And now, like after like remembering watching that tape and seeing. How yeah. he slowly extrapolated his game out is pretty cool. It's pretty
yeah.
cool watching.
Yeah, definitely. But hey, this is a week of draft coverage. We'll be covering a lot of draft prospects here in the future, so be on the lookout for that. In the comment section down below, if there's any draft prospect that you want to make sure that we get to, leave that down below. I'll probably put up a poll as well with some names, let you guys vote on it, and on some other draft prospects that we can potentially take looks at. I think we'll probably do EJ Liddell tomorrow because that's somebody who's more realistically in the Bulls' little range there. But that is it, Pat. If you got nothing left, man, you know what to do.
Hey, man, follow me on everything at Pat the Designer. It's at PATTHEDESIGNER. Yes, I did go to public school, but they taught me how to spell. Don't worry about it. Don't say a thing. And you can follow me on everything at, you can follow us on everything at Locked On Bulls.
And you can follow me personally at CEO Hayes, at CEO HAIZE. Thank you for making Locked On Bulls your first listen of the day. Now for your second listen, go and check on Locked On NBA, where the Locked On experts take you deep inside the NBA playoffs with insight and analysis affecting all 30 teams. Our very own Pat the Designer, you can catch over there once a week as well, covering the show with Nick. But that is it for us for today. This has been Locked On Bulls. Thank you, guys. We love you.